Welcome back, and I have a special guest, Ivan Palacios, and we are back to continue on what we ended on our last episode, which was the Maya. Now, I am so honored and I'm so grateful that he is here back again to talk about this deity, or goddess, or we're going to delve into it. So, hi, Evan. How are you? Okay, so now I have a lot of questions about your Maya. And knowing you, you are a walking encyclopedia, or your anthropology. Like, it's amazing. So to begin with, who is your Maya?
So, your Maya, she comes from the West African religions. To my knowledge, to my experience, the people that work with her in Latin America, they're mostly Afro-Latinos. So the West African religions, they mix with the Catholicism and the indigenous philosophies and religions. So in my jam, she's not a goddess and she's not a deity. She is what is called Orishas, they are sort of energies or like powers. Like most religions do, they are personified just to make it easier to our human brains to comprehend sort of what they are. So a lot of times you see a black woman wearing a blue dress by the sea. So people that work with Orishas, like something the Buddha religion, they don't actually they don't actually believe that she is this human woman spirit. It's just a representation. Like I said, she is the energy of the cosmos. So she's basically like sort of mother matter or mother material world. She represents the material world. So she's a very motherly energy, and she's represented also by the sea. And I think that's very interesting because in the evolution theory, they believe that life began in the sea. And you know, this is an evolution theory. This is it's almost like a belief.
Yeah, I agree. I've heard about that too. Yeah. So Yamaya is not evil, or like, does she get angry at all? Like,
she's not evil. She, to my knowledge, she's not a malevolent energy.
Okay.
She's more, she represents the calmness, because like I said, she's very motherly, so the people that work with her, they get in touch with love. She's a very loving energy.
So when you say she is the mother of cosmos or mother of matter, like, what can she do? Like, can she, like, if do, I'm sure people pray to her, right?
Yeah, they pray to her, but she's not, she's, from what I know, she's not mixing with witchcraft.
Okay.
She's more of a, like, someone to pray to.
Right.
Someone to, you know, to feel, she consoles you. She's not, you know, she's not someone to I don't know, to manifest bad things on other people. She's more like, you can get in touch with her for your needs as a human being. So basic needs that we have as humans, like shelter, food, and even things like love. But not to make someone else fall in love with you, because that would be, you know, harassment. Mm-hmm. But more like love, so that you can be open with yourself or with other people. That kind of love.
Okay, so you answered the next question that I was going to ask. Like, what does she help people get? Like, you answered it's more like food, shelter, and like nurturing. Yes. So the nurturing quality. So why is she associated with the sea?
She's associated with the sea because, you know, in West Africa is a coastal region. So, you know, there was a lot of fishing. Fishing was a big part of, or is a big part of their culture. So it's a big part of where they found their food. So since she represents basically Mother Nature to them, since they're coastal cultures, the sea was a big part of their sustenance. And yeah, and the sea, you know, water represents like cleansing and stuff like that. So she's very pure.
My next question is, how do you know all this?
Like I said in the beginning, she's more associated with Afro-Latinos, Chaka.
Yeah.
Most, if not all, of Latin America has at least some African influences in it. Some more than others, especially Caribbean nations like Cuba, the Dominican Republic, and also like Brazil, Colombia. In Mexico, most people wouldn't guess this, but in Mexico we do have some African influence.
Oh.
Like we were talking about the other day about La Santa Muerte.
Right.
The practices, how you work with her, is heavily influenced by African religion.
No way.
So yeah, like the sacrificing of roosters and stuff like that.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Did we miss that part?
Well, because what we know today about the worship of La Santa Muerte comes from the Atlantic coast of Mexico, which is in the Caribbean. And in the Caribbean, that's where we have the most African influences. So, maybe me, you know, I want to get to the bottom of everything. So, when I start noticing the African influences in Mexico, then I want to go deeper into it. So, I start studying the African influences in other parts of Latin America. Like I said, some countries in Latin America are more African-based than others, so I just started studying it, going to their religions, because I love studying religions.
Right.
So it's just, you know, fun to me to learn about all of this.
Yeah. But you know, it's so funny, that's a big bag of information you just released within the last 8 minutes. So when we talked about Yemaya, and then we also talked about Santa Marta, how are they so different?
They're different and they're similar. They're similar in the sense that people see them as mother figures.
Both. Oh.
Because, like we're talking about Santa Muerte is very earthbound. So she also tends to our human needs. But she has expectations for me. Yemaya, like I said, she's more pure. She's like a mother. She gives. She doesn't expect anything in return other than prayers, maybe light a candle. But she doesn't take anything away from her.
That sounds more like, yeah, she is pure, is what you're saying. Well, thank you so much, Ivan. We have spent 8 minutes, but that is so calming. It's a big change from what we started and this one. Is there anything else you just want to like throw out there before we end it?
She is part of a religion.
She is?
She is part of a religion, or various religions, like it's in Santeria, Palo, the 21 divisions, maybe the Dominican Republic. So she's not, you have to be initiated into those religions to work with her. She's not like, she's not a toy or just like an image that you can hang around with. And she is part of the wider pantheon of orishas or energies.
Okay,
so
orisha.
There's various different energies, and she's considered the mother of the orishas.
Oh.
Yeah, so there's many other orishas that you can learn about.
Really? How many other orishas are there? Out of
I'm not sure
curiosity.
of the exact number, but there's, I'm not exactly sure of the names. I know just a few at the top of my head right now, like Shenmue, represents, he's sort of like Mars, like, almost like, more like...
Is that like a female or a male?
That's a male. He was... Well, people say that he was an actual human being at some point.
Like Zeus? Zeus.
Zeus. More like Mars. Or, you know, he's represented with a solar.
Oh.
He was at some point like a real human being. When he died, they believe that he became an Asian. Because he personified that specific concept so well.
Too well.
Like he represented the meaning behind this concept, because when I say Orishas and I say they're like energies or powers, they're more like concepts.
What kind of concepts?
Like for example, what I was saying about Yemaya, she's a concept of maternity and the human need of maternity.
Mm-hmm.
She's a concept. So Shango, he is basically like a warrior. So when he was a human being, I guess he personified the concept so well that when he died, he sort of became
a war god.
Yeah, an Orisha.
So where did he originate from? The African?
West Africa. Yeah,
so all of these Orishas originated from West Africa.
From West Africa. And that's why if you go to different... countries in the Caribbean and Latin America, some are more West African, like in the Dominican Republic, Haiti. Some are sort of mix of West African and Central Africa, like in Brazil. So they each have their own uniqueness and similarities between themselves. So it really varies depending on the region, because you know, different slaves were brought from the Yoruba people in West Africa, the Fon people in West Africa, or some other cultures in Central Africa.
Wow, this is
knowledge. It's a really big topic. It's really complex.
So I think we have our next topic too. But I know we're running short of time, but I just want to say a big thank you before we wrap this up. And Evan, I guess this means we're going to be meeting up again to talk about all of this. Just want to say a big thank you for starting the day with such amazing topics. Well, we were going to talk about Yemaya, and we did. And we continue to talk about all these. I doubt people were even aware of these Orishas or like, so it's really pretty amazing how you know all of this. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll meet again.
I hope so.
Yes, of course. Have a great day, guys. And for anyone listening, you have any questions, feel free to email me or message me. I will forward that to Ivan. And that's it. Have a great day, guys. Hello, and we are back again. And yes, I do have a special guest, Ivan Palacios, and today we're going to continue on the topic that we discussed last time, and we are going to touch on the same topic a little bit more deeper today. And hi, Ivan.
Hello.
How are you today?
I'm really glad to be back and talk about my favorite topics.
I'm so glad you're back. So since we started the topic, I want to get back into Yemaya. You mentioned that she is an Orisha. What is an Orisha?
Orishas are sort of powers or energies that were created by the Supreme God. So Yemaya in the religion of Santeria and other West African traditions, she's called Orisha. But in in Vodou, from the Dominican Republic, Haiti, and Louisiana, and the American continent, she is Aloha, which is basically the same thing, but a different name. and she is syncretized with the goddess of the sea in Bulu, and the virgin, I believe the virgin of the bay.
Virgin of the bay?
Yeah, like a Marian apparition.
I Mother believe. Mary?
Yeah, it's a Marian apparition. I believe it was in Cuba, and she was syncretized with her.
Okay. So, what are her powers? Does she have... I mean, if she's an orisha, she has powers, right?
So, more than having, like, supernatural powers, she is worshipped as a mother figure. So, you can pray to her for your basic human needs, like shelter, even money, which, you know, some people would see money as mundane and anti-spiritual. But as human beings, we need money to survive. So people who worship Yemaya, you know, they will pray to her. They will light candles to have, to find basic human needs, basically, because she is a giving mother. She is the mother of the universe and the material world.
So does she also have the ability to grant, like, births, like in a maternal sense? Does she have the ability to grant babies or like?
To my knowledge, I have seen people refer to her or attribute her to things like love and sensuality. So I would say yes, because she is a mother figure. But there are other orishas who are specifically for that. So I would say you could pray for her for fertility reasons, but she...
Fertility, that's right.
Yeah, but she wouldn't be, you know, the first one to ask.
So when you say there are other orishas, does she mean that she... Does that mean that she has sisters or like...
She's actually the mother of orishas. She has, you know, no siblings. She has children.
So I read an article that said, like, if you cross one of her children, she will rise like the tidal wave and, like, be ruthless in vengeance. Is that part of her?
Yes, because she is associated with water, especially salt water, like the seas and the oceans. So when she does stuff like that, I heard people compare her to the power and the wrath of waves. You know, the ocean can be brutal. Like, waves hit you hard.
Yes.
So I wouldn't say she would, like, kill someone. She would punish them. She would affect their, like I said, their basic human needs, maybe problems, economic problems, you know, stuff like that.
And my next question is, what is her... Now, we were talking about earthbound deities. Is Yemaya earthbound, or like, where does she fall in that category?
I would say she is earthbound. But I wouldn't necessarily say she is mundane, because even though she is associated with the material world, she's part of the material world, the side of compassion. So the compassion, like nurturing, she's not necessarily like when we were talking about Santa Muerte, like Santa Muerte is more mundane. Things like the dark side. I would say Yemaya, she's more the nurturing side.
The light side.
The light side of.
So, how do these two differ? I mean, obviously the dark and the light, but like when you say light, like, I mean, she does have an aggressive side to her, but still she is worshipped as a mother, right? So how do that change?
So the two spirits, they are both very similar and very different.
Yeah.
because Santa Muerte, she is also referred to as a mother.
Right.
Like Madre Santa Muerte. I would say that's what they're similar in, that they're both earthly mothers. But I would say Yemaya, she is more like the mother that gives, the mother that nurtures, breastfeeds. She doesn't expect anything because she has the unconditional love of a mother. Whereas Santa Muerte, she expects from you.
Oh, so Yemaya, unconditional love.
She is unconditional, but in Santeria and Vudu, there are people. So these are real religions, like we see in cartoons and movies, like we see people stabbing dolls with pins, and they say that that's voodoo.
Right.
But voodoo is an actual religion beyond stabbing these things. So you have to be initiated into the religions, which are very based in culture. So in these religions, there are people who have direct contact with the orishas and the loas. So if you're not one of those people, you can pray to her, but you can have direct contact. Mm-hmm. So when the orishas and the loas, when they come to earth, because they're sort of interdimensional, they can come back and forth from earth to heaven. So when Yemaya, when she possesses someone who is trying to have contact with her, she, you know, as since for us humans, we have things like favorite colors, favorite foods, because it's natural for us because we exist in the material world. So when she comes down to the material world, she also has her favorite colors, her favorite foods. So it's not that she asks for these things, but it's more like people give to her. So when she possesses a person, they will dress in blue and white because those are her favorite colors, and they will sacrifice ducks, sometimes eat the ducks, sometimes goats, because those are her favorite foods. So she doesn't demand that she is given these colors and these animals. But when she becomes physical, she has these natural cravings that all physical living beings have.
That's very interesting. I have a question. Just you mentioned Santeria. What is Santeria?
Santeria is a syncretized religion from the Hispanic Caribbean. So like Cuba, the Dominican Republic, Puerto Rico. So they are based in the West African religion, especially the Yoruba religion. And when the slaves were brought to America, they syncretized, they mixed the religions with European Catholicism and the indigenous religions in the Caribbean. And Santeria, along with Voodoo, Palo, Candomblé, they are very similar because they have the same base, but they change depending on the culture. They have very subtle differences, but they're very similar.
So what's the difference between voodoo and Santeria?
Santeria, since they are based on Spanish Catholicism, they have more of the Spanish influence to it. Voodoo was influenced by French Catholicism, so they have very subtle differences. Like if you look at it from an outsider perspective, they would look the same. But from the inside, they are very different. So like I mentioned earlier, Santeros, the people that follow Santeria, they believe in these spirits as orishas. And in voodoo, they call them loas. And in other parts of Brazil, they're called axé. Yeah.
So, just because you mentioned orishas, we had this conversation. So, that doesn't make them a demigod.
They're not demigods. They believe in a sort of hierarchy. They believe they're monotheistic. They believe in one supreme god. And they believe that the orishas and the loas, they were created by their supreme god to have, so that they can communicate to the one god through them. It's so this is very similar to, like I was saying, Catholicism, because in Catholicism they believe saints are the beings that are in between God and humans. So in Catholicism you can ask a saint that is attributed to a certain thing to pray for you to God, because they are closer to God. So they are in between God and humans, so it's easier to communicate with Orishas and Loas and Catholic saints, because God is, I guess, you know, more beyond humans.
My next question. So voodoo, you said voodoo, it's not really poking things on a doll, am I right?
Yes.
What is voodoo? Because mainly the commercial way of describing voodoo is a doll being poked with a pin. Mm-hmm. What really is voodoo?
So voodoo, they have, some people call it the 21 divisions or the 21 mysteries. These divisions and mysteries are basically the same as the Loas. It's a highly syncretized religion.
It's a religion.
It's not a ritual.
But it's witchcraft, correct?
It's not witchcraft. Because there's a saying in Haiti, and this saying goes, 85% of Haitians are Catholic, 15% are Protestant, but 100% are voodooists. Ooh. Because voodoo is a very cultural religion. It's very close to their culture. And so they believe in these Loas and the mysteries and divisions. For example, I've already mentioned the African and the Catholic influences, and I like to show the indigenous influence in it in voodoo. So the Native Americans from Haiti are Taino, and the Taino religion, they believe in semis, which are a very close concept to Loas. They were also created as energies and powers of nature, so that humans can refer to them for their basic human needs. So that is very close to the concept of Loas. And since we're talking about Yemaya, the Taino mother goddess, her name is Atabe, and she is also the mother of the universe, as is Yemaya. She gave birth to the material universe, and she's also associated with water, especially with the ocean. So in voodoo, like I mentioned earlier, it's not something that you can just one day say, oh, now I'm gonna practice voodoo. It's, since it's very cultural, it's something that you have to be initiated in. And it's not very much of an organized religion. It's more like almost word of mouth, like people you know that can initiate you into the religion. And the people in voodoo, the people that have the direct contact with the Loas, they're called, in the Dominican Republic in Spanish, they're called caballos, horses. And these are the people that become possessed by the Loas or the mysteries. They're also called mysteries.
You mean they communicate with the spirit? What do you mean by possessed?
They can communicate with their spirits. Like they can, Loas, they especially like to communicate through dreams. But they also possess the physical body at times. So they are very, very secretive. There's not a lot of information out there because it's very personal and private. But I do know that sometimes they become possessed. And let's say there's a Loa who's very bloody, who's associated with wrath and anger. And when they possess the caballo,
the horse,
they will... Oh, when I say horse, I don't mean the animal. I mean the person.
Okay.
Yeah. They will... When they possess this person, they will eat raw meat sometimes. They will do these different things that they crave in the physical realm.
Wow, I think we touched on so many subjects today. And thank you so much for that wealth of information, the knowledge that you shared. And I pray that people come across and listen and learn the difference between all of this. And as our next segment moving forward, since we touched on Santa Muerte, the Maya, and Santeria, Voodoo, all of that, I also want to touch base on the Yamayan, Mayan. I just said Yamaya. The Mayan religions. I know you are well aware of that part of the culture and the religious background as well, right, Evan?
Yes.
Did you want to say anything about what that is?
Well, just as a segue, like maybe later we can have, you know, like a fuller episode on this, but just as a segue, the Mayans, they are part of the larger Mesoamerican culture sphere. So the religions in Mesoamerica are very similar. They still are very advanced in knowledge in general, from mathematics, from time. They had the concept of time, space-time, mathematics, architecture. They had a very extensive mythology, and their holy book, which is similar to, the concept is similar to the Bible. It's called the Popol Vuh. It touches the stories of the first human couple, like Adam and Eve, the time when the gods sent great floods to Earth, and then the new humans were created out of monkeys at one time, and then they were killed off by the gods, and then they were created by clay, and then by wood, and it's very extensive. And I do want to clarify that in Mesoamerica, they don't necessarily believe in gods; they believe in concepts.
What do you mean in concepts?
I mean that they don't actually believe that there is this person with this body. It's more of just the concept of it. Like, for example, take mathematics, for example. Mathematics don't have a body. They're just a concept of numbers.
Correct.
So that's what the religions in Mesoamerica are like. They have concepts, but drawing them as human figures is a form of poetry, which the Toltecs, which were the philosophy of Mesoamerica, they were very clear on this. Every 50 years, they had to destroy the statues so that people wouldn't forget that we're not worshiping people. We are referring to concepts to learn. It's a very philosophical religion.
I'm looking forward to it. And you already shared so much that really intrigued me. Well, thank you, Ivan, for joining. I know time is valuable. I really, really, really appreciate you joining me again and sharing your wealth of knowledge. I thank you, God, for allowing me this opportunity with Ivan. Thank you for this moment. Thank you, Ivan.
Thanks for inviting me.
I'll see you in our next segment. And for our listeners, if you do have any questions, as always, I say you can email it to me and I will forward it to Ivan. And you all have a great rest of the day, and I'll see you soon. Bye from both of us.
Good night.
Bye. Good night. Hello, and we are back again. And yes, I do have a special guest, Ivan Palacios, and today we're going to continue on the topic that we discussed last time, and we are going to touch on the same topic a little bit more deeper today. And hi, Ivan.
Hello.
How are you today?
I'm really glad to be back and talk about my favorite topics.
I'm so glad you're back. So since we started the topic, I want to get back into Yamaya. you mentioned that she is an Orisha. What is an Orisha?
Orishas are sort of powers or energies that were created by the Supreme God. Soyemaya in the religion of Santeria and other West African traditions, she's called Orisha. But in in Vodou, from the Dominican Republic, Haiti, and Louisiana, in the American continent, she is Aloha, which is basically the same thing, but a different name. And she is syncretized with the goddess of the sea in Vodou, and the virgin, I believe the virgin of the bay.
Virgin of the bay?
Yeah, like a Marian apparition.
Mother Mary?
Yeah, it's a Marian apparition. I believe it was in Cuba, and she was syncretized with her.
Okay. So, what are her powers? Does she have... I mean, if she's an Orisha, she has powers, right?
So, more than having, like, supernatural powers, she is worshipped as a mother figure. So, you can pray to her for your basic human needs, like shelter, even money, which, you know, some people would see money as mundane and anti-spiritual. But as human beings, we need money to survive. So people who worship Yemaya, you know, they will pray to her. They will light candles to have, to find basic human needs, basically, because she is a giving mother. She is the mother of the universe and the material world.
So... does she also have the ability to grant, like, births, like in a maternal sense? Does she have the ability to grant babies or, like?
To my knowledge, I have seen people refer to her or attribute her to things like love and sensuality. So... I would say yes, because she is a mother figure, but there are other Orishas who are specifically for that. So I would say you could pray for her for fertility reasons, but she...
fertility, that's right.
Yeah, but she wouldn't be, you know, the first one to ask.
So when you say there are other Orishas, does that mean that she has sisters or like...
She's actually the mother of Orishas.
Oh.
She has, you know, no siblings. She has children.
So I read an article that said, like, if you cross one of her children, she will rise like the tidal wave and, like, be ruthless in vengeance. Is that part of her?
Yes. Because she is associated with water, especially salt water, like the seas and the oceans. So when she does stuff like that, I heard people compare her to the power and the wrath of waves. You know, the ocean can be brutal. Like, waves hit you hard.
Yes.
So I wouldn't say she would, like, kill someone. She would punish them. She would... affect their, like I said, their basic human needs, maybe problems, economic problems, you know, stuff like that.
And my next question is, what is her... Now, we were talking about earthbound deities. Is Yemaya earthbound, or like, where does she fall in that category?
I would say she is earthbound, but I wouldn't necessarily say she is mundane, because even though she is associated with the material world, she's part of the material world, the side of compassion. So the compassion, like nurturing, she's not necessarily like when we were talking about Santa Muerte, like Santa Muerte is more mundane. Things like the the dark side. I would say Yemaya, she's more the nurturing side.
The light side.
The light side of.
So, how do these two differ? I mean, obviously the dark and the light, but like when I say, when you say light, like, I mean, she does have an aggressive side to her, but still she is worshipped as a mother, right? So how do that change?
So the two spirits, they are both very similar and very different. Because Santa Muerte, she is also referred to as a mother.
Right.
Like Madre Santa Muerte. I would say that's what they're similar in, that they're both earthly mothers. But I would say Yemaya, she is more like the mother that gives, the mother that nurtures, breastfeeds. She doesn't expect anything because she has the unconditional love of a mother. Whereas Santa Muerte, she expects from you.
Oh, so Yemaya, unconditional love.
She is unconditional, but in Santeria and Vudu, there are people. So these are real religions, like we see in cartoons and movies, like we see people stabbing dolls with pins, and they say that that's voodoo.
Right.
But voodoo is an actual religion beyond stabbing these things. So you have to be initiated into the religions, which are very based in culture. So in these religions, there are people who have direct contact with the orishas and the loas. So if you're not one of those people, you can pray to her, but you can have direct contact. So when the orishas and the loas, when they come to earth, because they're sort of interdimensional, they can come back and forth from earth to heaven. So when Yemaya, when she possesses someone who is trying to have contact with her, she, you know, as since for us humans, we have things like favorite colors, favorite foods, because it's natural for us because we exist in the material world. So when she comes down to the material world, she also has her favorite colors, her favorite foods. So it's not that she asks for these things, but it's more like people give to her. So when she possesses a person, they will dress in blue and white because those are her favorite colors, and they will sacrifice ducks, sometimes eat the ducks, sometimes goats, because those are her favorite foods. So she doesn't demand that she is given these colors and these animals. But when she becomes physical, she has these natural cravings that all physical living beings have.
That's very interesting. I have a question. Just you mentioned Santeria. What is Santeria?
Santeria is a syncretized religion from the Hispanic Caribbean. So like Cuba, the Dominican Republic, Puerto Rico. So they are based in the West African religion, especially the Yoruba religion. And when the slaves were brought to America, they syncretized, they mixed the religions with European Catholicism and the indigenous religions in the Caribbean. And Santeria, along with Vudu, Palo, Candomblé, they are very similar because they have the same base, but they change depending on the culture. They have very subtle differences, but they're very similar.
So what's the difference between Vudu and Santeria?
Santeria, since they are based on Spanish Catholicism, they have more of the Spanish influence to it. Vudu was influenced by French Catholicism, so they have very subtle differences. Like if you look at it from an outsider perspective, they would look the same, but from the inside, they are very different. So like I mentioned earlier, Santeros, the people that follow Santeria, they believe in these spirits as orishas. And in voodoo, they call them loas. And in other parts of Brazil, they're called axé. Yeah.
So just because you mentioned orishas, we had this conversation. So that doesn't make them a demigod.
They're not demigods. They believe in a sort of hierarchy. They believe they're monotheistic. They believe in one supreme god. And they believe that the orishas and the loas, they were created by their supreme god to have, so that they can communicate to the one god through them. It's so, this is very similar to, like I was saying, Catholicism, because in Catholicism they believe saints are the beings that are in between God and humans. So in Catholicism you can ask a saint that is attributed to a certain thing to pray for you to God, because they are closer to God. So they are in between God and humans, so it's easier to communicate with orishas and loas and Catholic saints, because God is, I guess, you know, more beyond humans. Yeah.
My next question. So voodoo, you said voodoo, it's not really poking things on a doll, am I right?
Yes.
What is voodoo? Because mainly the commercial way of describing voodoo is a doll being poked with a pin. Mm. What really is voodoo?
So voodoo, they have, some people call it the 21 divisions or the 21 mysteries. These divisions and mysteries are basically the same as the loas. It's a highly syncretized religion.
It's a religion.
It's not a ritual.
But it's witchcraft, correct?
It's not witchcraft. Because there's a saying in Haiti, and this saying goes, 85% of Haitians are Catholic, 15% are Protestant, but 100% are voodooists. Ooh. Because voodoo is a very cultural religion. It's very close to their culture, and so they believe in these loas and the mysteries and divisions. For example, I've already mentioned the African and the Catholic influences, and I like to show the indigenous influence in it, in voodoo. So the Native Americans from Haiti are Taino. And the Taino religion, they believe in semis, which are a very close concept to loas. They were also created as energies and powers of nature, so that humans can refer to them for their basic human needs. So that is very close to the concept of loas. And since we're talking about Yemaya, the Taino mother goddess, her name is Atabe, and she is also the mother of the universe, as is Yemaya. She gave birth to the material universe, and she's also associated with water, especially with the ocean. So in voodoo, like I mentioned earlier, it's not something that you can just one day say, oh, now I'm gonna practice voodoo. It's, since it's very cultural, it's something that you have to be initiated in. And it's not very much of an organized religion. It's more like almost word of mouth, like people you know that can initiate you into the religion. And the people in voodoo, the people that have the direct contact with the loas, they're called, in the Dominican Republic in Spanish, they're called caballos, horses. And these are the people that become possessed by the loas or the mysteries. They're also called mysteries.
You mean they communicate with the spirit? What do you mean by possess?
They can communicate with their spirits. Like they can, loas, they especially like to communicate through dreams. But they also possess the physical body at times. So they are very, very secretive. there's not a lot of information out there because it's very personal and private, but I do know that sometimes they become possessed. And let's say there's Aloha, who's very bloody, who's associated with wrath and anger. And when they possess the caballo,
the horse,
they will... Oh, when I say horse, I don't mean the animal. I mean the person.
Okay.
Yeah. They will... When they possess this person, they will eat raw meat sometimes. They will do these different things that they crave in the physical realm.
Wow, I think we touched on so many subjects today. And before... I mean, thank you so much for that wealth of information, the knowledge that you shared. And I pray that people come across and listen and learn the difference between all of this. And as our next segment moving forward, since we touched on Santa Muerte, Gemaya, and Santeria, Voodoo, all of that, I also want to touch base on the Yamayan, Mayan. I just said Yamaya. The Mayan religions. I know you are well aware of that part of the culture and the religious background as well, right, Evan?
Yes.
Did you want to say anything about what that is?
Well, just as a segue, like maybe later we can have, you know, like a fuller episode on this, but just as a segue, the Mayans, they are part of the larger Mesoamerican culture sphere. So the religions in Mesoamerica are very similar. They were, well, they still are, very advanced in knowledge in general, from mathematics, from time. They had the concept of time, space-time, mathematics, architecture. They had a very extensive mythology, and their holy book, which is similar to, I mean, the concept is similar to the Bible. It's called the Popol Vuh. It touches the stories of the first human couple,
Adam and Eve,
the time when the gods sent great floods to earth, and then the new humans were created out of monkeys at one time, and then they were killed off by the gods, and then they were created by clay and then by wood. And it's very extensive. And I do want to clarify that in Mesoamerica, they don't necessarily believe in gods. They believe in concepts.
What do you mean in concepts?
I mean that they don't actually believe that there is this person with this body. It's more of just the concept of it. Like, for example, take mathematics, for example. Mathematics don't have a body. They're just a concept of numbers.
Correct.
So that's what the religions in Mesoamerica are like. They have concepts, but drawing them as human figures is a form of poetry, which the Toltecs, which were the philosophy of Mesoamerica, they were very clear on this. Every 50 years, they had to destroy the statues so that people wouldn't forget that we're not worshiping people. We are referring to concepts to learn. It's a very philosophical religion.
I'm looking forward to it. And you already shared so much that really intrigued me. Well, thank you, Ivan, for joining. I know time is valuable. I really, really, really appreciate you joining me again and sharing your wealth of knowledge. I thank you, God, for allowing me this opportunity with Ivan. Thank you for this moment. Thank you, Ivan.
Thanks for inviting me.
I'll see you in our next segment. And for our listeners, if you do have any questions, as always, I say you can email it to me and I will forward it to Ivan. And you all have a great rest of the day, and I'll see you soon. Bye from both of us.
Good night.
Bye. Good night.